Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
As I continue in my ongoing series on liberalism, with the convergence of so many events in the news these days, I've chosen to delay my planned mini-series on the effect of Christian magazines on the present apostasy in the church, which means it'll be also a while until I get to the finish of the Ghost of Liberalism future mini-series, so to speak, that I've been doing, working on. And I've mentioned, as I've mentioned before, this Ghost of Liberalism past, present, and future. It's an ongoing thing I've been doing, and we will be wrapping that up within the next couple of months or so. Last week, I felt the need to address the Eugene Peterson debacle, and the next couple of programs will address some of the current events in the news today. First, I want to look at some of the interfaith and, ecumenical type stuff, but mostly more along lines of interfaith from not so much within the church, but regarding other religions being linked to pseudo-Christian movements, pseudo-Christian churches. And so I want to look at some of these stories and events that have caught my attention recently. One such article is entitled, World's Top Religious Leaders Issue Rare Joint Appeal. And this is from the Huffington Post. And as you may realize or may know, that the former editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post was Arianna Huffington, who herself was a New Ager, and I don't know if she still believes that way or not, but she was a follower of a guy named John Roger, and his movement was called the Movement for Spiritual Inner Awareness, and basically was pretty much of a cult. So, but anyway, I just wanted to mention that in regards to the Huffington Post, which is she's no longer the editor-in-chief of, but that just came to my mind. Now, in this article, we see that religion, it says, is often viewed as a force that sows divisions between people. But the world's most prominent religious leaders have come together to present a different vision of how faith can work in the world. In a rare move, major religious leaders, and I pause there to say in a rare move, it doesn't seem that rare to me as my podcast about the Presbyterian Church USA and their connection to Islam and many of the other liberal churches as well and their interfaith actions. This doesn't seem like such a rare thing to me, but and the articles that will follow tonight will also kind of confirm that it's not really that rare. But this author, Carol Kuravilla, says that major religious leaders from Pope Francis to the Dalai Lama issued a joint appeal Wednesday asking people to follow a simple bit of advice. Make friends with people of other faiths. Personal contact, personal friendship, then we can exchange a deeper level experience, the Dalai Lama said. You know, the Dalai Lama used to hang out with Thomas Merton, a Catholic priest who was one of the big proponents of contemplative prayer, the contemplative prayer movement. And when Dalai Lama says, then we can exchange a deeper level of experience, well, that's what he's all about, really. And the trade-off with him and Thomas Merton was pretty apparent up until Merton died. So I think he's probably talking about mystical experience. And, you know, with mysticism, and this is really the tie that binds many religions together, which we'll see more and more, I think, as we go into the future and as we see continual prophetic things taking place. Now, the article goes on to say, Make Friends is an initiative of the Elijah Interfaith Institute, an interfaith organization with offices in Israel and the United States. In a press release, organizers said the project's mission is to counter the idea that people view each other's religions with distrust or disdain and to potentially even reduce violence conducted in the name of religion. But you know, Jesus said that there was going to be wars and rumors of wars, whether they were religious wars or whatever type of wars. He said they would come. And of course, we know the Antichrist himself is going to bring a false peace. He's going to come on the platform of peace, peace. And the problem, also, I might add, with fake religion, false religion, is that people in false religions will always persecute the truth and true believers in the true God. So biblical Christians are always going to be persecuted, even as Cain persecuted Abel when he committed the first religious act and killed his brother for following God's prescription for a relationship rather than his own, because Cain decided to go his own way. Now, the article says Rabbi Dr. Elon Goshen Gottstein, the Institute's director, said that this project introduces a new theological perspective, one that affirms the need for friendship between faiths. We cannot deny that in the books of many religions you can find texts that are very often open, or that are not very open, even hostile to people of other faiths, he said in a statement. Therefore, when the world's most important leaders call for friendship, they are in fact affirming a particular way of practicing religion and rejecting another. Jesus, again, and I get this verse in every week, John 14:6, he said, "No one comes to the Father but by me," only through Jesus. So, you know, also Christianity does not teach, Jesus didn't teach his followers to attack other people physically, but rather to defend our faith. But, you know, you don't find that as a problem with true biblical Christians. Now, the article goes on to say the 22 leaders involved in the appeal represent a wide spectrum of religious beliefs. Sikhism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Fake Christianity, no doubt. Each leader contributed a personal statement specifically for the purposes of this project. And closing out this article, he says, one of the most wonderful things about spending time with people completely unlike you is you discover how much you have in common. Same fears, hopes, same concerns, says the Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. And, you know, I guess sarcastically I would say, well, then, you know, seems like it'd be much better to fellowship with true believers if you want to have a wonderful time spending time with people. But this is the idea you often get, is that, you know, how much you find in common. In an earlier podcast, Kevin Fleming from the Presbyterian Church USA, he talked along those lines. We'll see a little bit more about that in a minute. But now, this is an article really from last year, July 1st, 2016. It's entitled, "The Presbyterian Church USA Prays to Allah, Calls Muhammad a Prophet." And, you know, the last two podcasts I've done have dealt directly or indirectly with the Presbyterian Church USA, a very liberal denomination. I visited one and I spoke about my experience about that and some of their beliefs. And as I mentioned, Kevin, got his name wrong here, Kevin Fleming, sorry. He spoke at the local Interfaith Islam Center. And I'll get to that in a second. Also, that was, you know, the Presbyterian Church USA where he was a pastor. And then indirectly, I spoke a little bit about Eugene Peterson in the last podcast, and he is a retired Presbyterian, which I will refer to as PCUSA from here on to save time and pronunciation. He was also associated with that liberal denomination. The Presbyterian Church, in this article, this author's not cited, the Presbyterian Church USA is raising eyebrows after lifting up prayers to Allah at its General Assembly meeting last week. "Allah bless us and bless our families and bless our Lord. Lead us on the straight path, the path of all prophets, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad." These were the words that rang out over the congregation at the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA meeting in Portland, Oregon. The leader of the local Muslim Education Trust led the attendees in the prayer to the Islamic deity, a move arranged by the ecumenical and interfaith ministry staff at the assembly. "In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, let us praise the Lord. Peace be upon them and peace be upon Allah," said Saeed, was this man's name, he prayed. He also prayed peace on the bigots and the Islamophobes. Well, how gracious of him. Later at the conclusion of the session, Reverend Grady Parsons offered an apology to anyone who was offended by the prayer. He assured the congregation that mistakes can be made, but the prayer was not an intentional one. It was never the intention to offend anyone, and we offer an apology to those who were offended, Reverend Parsons said. But the PCUSA still affirms that it will advocate for positive relationships with people of other religious traditions and is committed to fighting the rise in Islamophobia. Kind of a fake apology there, if I ever heard one. But anyway, speaking of the pastor locally that I had mentioned, again, I lost, I'm sorry about that, his name is Kevin Fleming. I keep wanting to say Fletcher. Kevin Fleming. He had this summer series that I mentioned, sermon series, and speaking on being a justice-oriented church, being an inclusive church, affirming is a big term that's used a lot. And this message he gave was during the One God, One Community series that was taking place at that local Islamic center, similar to the one I was just talking about that happened out west. Now, from his Ask the Pastor series, and this, and I went over this a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to say once again, bring it home here. At the heart of every religion is the search for God. Every religious tradition seems to be on a quest to know who God is and how we can relate to God and to one another. Again, John 14:6. I won't quote it again. However, the quest for God, a God who is bigger than our ability to understand, is limited by its very nature. The finite cannot fully understand or comprehend or experience the infinite. So, no religion can ever claim to have 100% of the truth. This is in answer to the question that he was asked, is there one true religion? And, of course, I would say, no, that's not true. There is a religion that can claim to have 100% of the truth, and that's biblical Christianity, because only God's Word can claim that and does claim that, and God's Word points to Jesus Christ, who himself, John 14:6 says, he's the only one that will get you to God. He's the only way to God. Now he goes on to say, the insights I gained from my friends and religious traditions beyond my own offer reinforcement and insight to my own practice of faith. The prayers of other traditions lead me to pray in new ways. How, is my question. That's the blind leading the blind, as far as I'm concerned. And Jesus spoke of all false religions as being thieves and liars and deceivers. So that's what you're going to get tonight a lot in a lot of these spokespersons and spokespeople from these articles that I'm reading from. And so I want to move to the next article, and that is one that is related to, I mentioned Eugene Peterson, and I just want to, in passing, quickly mention that I spoke last week about the fact that he really, and back in 2008, endorsed the Shack. And so I'm making a little segue there to the Shack author, who recently was on Oprah, and Warren Smith did a little report on that. And anyway, he said in that, Mr. Young, the author of The Shack, said, I want to be more like Oprah. Now, you can add Mr. Young's name to other people who want to be like Oprah, or at least beyond Oprah, because it's good for book sales, that's for sure. But other questionable Christians and Christian leaders who are on that list, of course, we know, are people like Joel Osteen, Rob Noel Bell, T.D. Jakes, and Rick Warren. I might be missing a few. There's more and more sellouts that are going to the other side. And Oprah, who's done more to promote New Age spirituality and New World religions than just about anybody in the world. But anyway, I'm not going to take much time with that article. I can recommend it to you. It's from the LighthouseTrailsResearch.com blog. And very interesting, the path that this man who wrote The Shack is taking naive Christians down. Okay, now getting back, I've been talking about the interfaith, movement, and I want to get back to that with another article that I just recently got from the local paper, which really came from the USA Today nationally, which is a very liberal newspaper. They have a series called the I Am an American, We Are One Nation series. And the title of this article was called Welcoming People of Other Faiths. And this was a pastor, Fred Schenker, pastor of Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in the Pittsburgh area. This is part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And I will also use an acronym for this group down the road to save myself repetition, the ELCA. Very liberal. This is a group that I visited their church locally, picked up one of their magazines, and I talked about that in one of the podcasts before. So a lot of this stuff's coming back around again. Very interesting to me, though, because this article is right down the same vein of these other things that have come across my attention recently. This Lutheran pastor, he opened a church to Muslims. And by the way, I want to again emphasize that this is just one of the Lutheran churches. This is one of the most liberal wings, just like the Presbyterian Church is the most, probably the most liberal wing of the Presbyterian Church. So, but they have a lot in common, as we'll see in a few minutes. The Lutheran pastor opened his church to Muslims as their mosque was being built. It says, Pastor Fred Schenker joked with his friends of another faith, Muslims, while they described their unfinished mosque 12 years in the making. He grew to know that the Muslim community, after he opened the church doors to them, he grew to know them, and they were having to drive at least 40 minutes to get to the closest mosque. So they decided 2 years earlier to build a mosque. Well, while that was taking place, when they were looking for a place closer to home to pray, other churches rejected them, the article says, but Schenker and Trinity welcomed them. Well, let me just say, bravo to those other true Christian churches. If, you know, as long as they wanted those Muslims to know the faith in Jesus Christ, surely they shouldn't be opening up their churches to a false religion. But Brother Fred Schenker, he was right there for him. He says, honest to God, it was inspiring that people of two different faiths and that humanity prevailed rather than just the Islamophobia, remember that word, that has taken place in the current political climate. That's from the President Khalid Kchata of the Muslim group. Schenker has fond memories of having the Muslims in his church and listening to them pray. Fond memories of people praying to a false god? How does that work? Anyway, even if they're praying upstairs and you were downstairs, the call to holiness, you can experience that vibration, that holiness. Really? That energy that is good and life-giving. Really? Life-giving? For sure? Pastor Schenker? You sure about that? More like death-giving in more than one way, I might add. You know, as the jihadists would have you know, not all Muslims will blow you up, but all Muslims will end up in hell without Jesus Christ. So there's no life-giving spirit or good energy that's going to come out of that. He says, it's faith at its best. It's America at its best. Some of the stuff going on right now is unfaithful and un-American, Schenker said. And of course, he's talking about Christians defending the faith and speaking out, you know, common sense concerning Islamic militants, etc. I would say the one who's unfaithful is you, Fred Schenker. Just like the unfaithful harlot church of Revelation 17, of which your church is no doubt going to be a part one day as this harlot church is being built, even as we speak. Now, questions and answers for Fred. What does it mean to you to be an American? America is the great experiment. It's the experiment where you can come and worship the God of your choice. It's one big spiritual buffet. Well, it's true, and I'm thankful we have religious freedom here. We still have it. But the idea that he thinks it's great that you can come and worship the God of your own choice, just spin the wheel and pick your God. I'm not sure if he's big on defending the Christian faith. He says, it's a place where you can come and have disagreements, but work together to come even to a compromise. Yes, I would say compromise, yes. And maybe my way, your way, there's a third way. No, Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the only way, Mr. Schenker. Anyway, the next question, what moment touched and motivated you to launch this effort? There was a group of Muslims, a congregation, and they were trying to find a space to pray. They had been to different churches trying to find a space just for Friday, and they got no's. And they came to Trinity, and I said, well, sure. Christ tells us to love all people, and these guys want to pray? Wonderful. Well, that's not really how you love people that are lost. You speak the truth and love to them. You give them the gospel. You don't set up a platform for them to come in and practice and really help spread their fake false religion, you know? I get a little bit uptight when I read these kind of things. What gives you hope, or what concerns you? I'm hopeful that we can learn or view our similarities and differences. And there's that same concept you get through all these articles. As opportunities to enrich one another's lives. How do we get enriched by a false religion? Not only that, but when we grow in respect for each other and truly look again, respect the other, we may even grow to love the other tradition and fall deeper in love with our own tradition. How do you do that? How do you be faithful to God and love false gods? I'm not sure. You'll have to explain that to me. But the truth is, you can't. It's not possible. You can't please the true God by committing spiritual harlotry that way. My concern is that rather than embracing our similarities and our differences to promote the best in humanity, we see the other as a threat, or worse, less than human. Well, you know, Dave Hunt wrote a book called A Woman Rides the Beast. And again, the idea that the Catholic Church and many of these liberal denominations and false religions will all eventually form one harlot church. Not the bride of Christ, but the harlot, the unfaithful, fake church. What do you hope to accomplish through your efforts? He says that he believes that loving our Muslim neighbor sends a strong message that Christians and Muslims not only can tolerate one another, but they can love and respect one another. Well, we should tolerate one another, and we should love and respect one another, but we should really love one another. I mean, or we should really love Muslims who are lost and perishing by having the courage to tell them the truth, speak the truth in love. Now, that's the end of that article. Now, the magazine that I picked up at the local ELCA church had an article called Unity in Diversity from their Living Lutheran magazine from the June issue. And it says, "Let us break bread together" was the anthem that resounded loudly and clearly on March 26 as four Christian denominations worshiped and shared the Eucharist at the United Church of Christ, another big liberal church. It says they had gathered together to celebrate the 20th anniversary of signing the Formula of Agreement, which declares full communion exists between the ELCA, and three reform bodies, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Reformed Church in America, and the United Church of Christ. So these are not all of the liberal churches, although if you read on in the article, he also says they currently have three other full communion agreements with the Episcopal Church, another very liberal church, the Moravian Church in America, and the United Methodist Church. Now, I've read this before, so I'm not going to read any more of the article, but I've read this in an earlier podcast, but it's fascinating to me to see this thing that's coming together here, this harlot church. Now, the next article that I want to look at is called it's called Nebraska Tri-Faith Initiative Building Church, Synagogue, and Mosque Side by Side. And this is written by Heather Clark. And this is what the article says. A groundbreaking was recently held as part of a Nebraska building project that will erect a church, synagogue, and mosque side by side on the same property. Temple Israel, the American Muslim Institute, and Countryside Christian Church claim that they are being led by God to create a multi-faith location in Omaha. And I would say, which God? Which one of your gods are leading you to do that? They claim they're being led by God, singular, I guess. Anyway, one God, one community, right? It says, we believe that we are being led by God, by our God, to continue the journey started by Abraham, and that we are all called to be a blessing to each other and our community. It says that the effort combines the three because of their shared Abrahamic faith and their belief that they all worship the same God. But you know, without Jesus Christ, Jews are not able to worship the real God, not yet. After the time of Jacob's trouble during the Great Tribulation, many Jews are going to come to Christ. Praise God. And Muslims, they obviously worship another God, Allah. So, you know, even if Ishmael is part of their heritage, you know, Abraham's son, but not the promised son, Isaac. So, you know, it says, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam share a monotheistic belief system, the page explains. Our traditions have many names for God and use several languages for our sacred texts, but we share a belief in the God of Abraham. No, we don't. And the church, the Christian church, anyway, and I'll get to that in a minute, but the Christian church that's involved with this, of course, is liberal. And there is no saving faith. He says we share a belief in the God of Abraham, but there's no saving faith without Jesus Christ, as I so often mention in the John 14:16 passage. Now, he says, our mission is not about compromising anybody's faith. Oh, no. No compromise here. The Imam Muhammad Jamal Dowdy, here, I got it all out, told CNN, we are here to learn about each other and to live as neighbors with each other. While Countryside Christian Church, which is part of the United Church of Christ, you know, figures. By the way, I spoke in a much earlier podcast about my visit in Tulsa to a branch or a church that's part of the United Church of Christ. Very liberal experience. I shared that. You can see that in the archives, or you can hear that in the archives. It says, while some laud the initiative as a peacemaking move, others have expressed concern. The Global Faith Institute, led by Dr. Mark Christian, a former Muslim turned Christian, has several posts on its website about the matter. The fundamental schism in Islam between Sunni and Shia is irreconcilable and has resulted in centuries of strife and violence within Islam. The idea that a mosque exists that is open to both sects equally, in close physical proximity and partnership with Jews and Christians, makes this project a very appealing target for extremists of all stripes who might wish to make a statement using violence, he opined. I think that's a great point. This is a jihad buffet waiting to happen. And speaking of buffets, the daughter of billionaire investor Warren Buffett, you know, not really a buffet, close enough, I guess, but Susie Buffett is stated to be one of the financiers of the project. She is a member of Countryside Christian Church. Maybe they can get Jimmy Buffett to lead worship. Anyway, you'll have to excuse my humor. Those of you who listen, you know what I'm all about here sometimes. little humor to deal with the comic relief, I think we call it. Now, I don't have much time left. I have four other articles about the Pope. The Pope's been in the news a lot lately, so we'll see how far we get. The first one, the Pope Francis tells Catholics in Rome that a personal relationship with Jesus is dangerous and harmful. This is by Jeffrey Greider. It says that... I guess this move to make friends with people of other faiths can't include true biblical Christians then, because that's what we have, is a personal relationship with Jesus. And this was from a video that the Pope made these comments. Dropping all pretense of being the vicar of Christ, he told a fawning crowd of 33,000 Catholics that a personal, direct, immediate relationship with Jesus Christ must be avoided at all cost. The only relationship you can have with Jesus must be within the confines of the Roman Catholic Vatican system. There are those who believe that you can have a personal, direct, and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ outside of the communion and mediation of the Catholic Church. This was June 25th, 2017. I'm out of time. Last comments. Pope Francis told the Italian newspaper that the United States has a distorted vision of the world, that we need to be ruled by a world government. I'll mention that next week, the next article about that. And so I will leave it there. God bless you all. I hope you'll be back next week.